Love Sport Radio. On digital radio, online, mobile and smart speaker. This is the Sheffield United Fans Show.
Bit of a remix this week we've gone with to start the Sheffield United fan show here on Love Sport. It's me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. The next 3 hours are going to be dedicated to fine fan shows. The next 2 hours, I should say. I'm getting away with myself. That's because the last hour went in a flash, the Manchester United fan show. But now focusing on the Blades, of course, the team that Manchester United leapfrogged into fifth place for a while. For a period over the weekend, Sheffield United held that coveted, not really coveted, is it, but it's kind of coveted if you want to get into the fourth place Champions League spot for Sheffield United. They beat West Ham United 1-0 on Friday, a game marred by a bit more VAR controversy. We're not going to get too much into that and instead celebrate another victory for Sheffield United this season. Quite a remarkable record for Chris Wilder's men. On the line now we have James Shield from the Sheffield Express and Star. Thanks for joining us, James.
Thank you, my pleasure. Very soothing, that music. Yeah,
wasn't it, mate? I kind of didn't want to stop talking. I kind of wanted it to continue in the background. I'm sort of reclining in my chair here, thoroughly enjoying my relaxing Sunday. Here we go, it's back. A relaxing Sunday evening.
You could just dim the lights, couldn't you? And
I'm going to light my candles in a minute, get some incense. Anyway, swiftly moving on, James. The game this weekend, Sheffield United 1, West Ham 0. Another victory for the Blades. An incredible run so far. That's the eighth victory so far in the Premier League. 8 draws, just 6 defeats. It just keeps going on and on and on.
It does. It was another great result. I think it was another performance, actually, as well, that really sort of encouraged me and I think was really revealing about how Sheffield United are going about things this season, because they weren't at their best, certainly for the first half. It wasn't a classic. I don't think, if you know, those old highlights DVDs that you used to get at Christmas, I don't think that one would have been featuring on too many shows if they're still in existence and if anyone's still producing them. But in a strange sort of way, when you look back on the events of Friday night, I think that was just so impressive and encouraging for Sheffield United, because it goes to show that although Chris Wilder has said on many occasions this season that his team really needs to be at full tilt to, as he would put it, to get points in this division, in this league, that they can actually play, you know, or can actually produce a below par performance and come up with a result. So I think from that point of view, it was really impressive. And of course, you know, obviously nobody at the club wants to mention Europe yet. I think they'll leave that up to the likes of you and I. But it's another step closer towards that sort of that magic 40-point mark. Although I've got to say, I think it's fair to say that Sheffield United's ambitions this season have now gone beyond survival. I think they've broadened their horizons, if you like.
Oh, mate, 100%. I think they have to be. Now, that's 14 points from the last 21 available at Bramall Lane. Everybody was talking about the away form earlier on this season, but now Bramall Lane has become a Premier League fortress. And I think the thought of Europe, whilst it's great, my only concern would be here is that we've seen this in the past, right? You've seen this with the likes of Ipswich, shall we say, in the early noughties when they came up with George Burley, had that great first season, got into Europe, and then it all went a little bit south. Burnley, you'd have to say, yes, they recovered in the second half of last season, but they really struggled with going into Europe. Wolves seem to be doing okay. But is there a fear here, James, that if Sheffield United were to do the unthinkable, but not so much now, I suppose, the unthinkable at the start of the season and actually get into the Europa League, dare I say, Champions League qualification places, that this might potentially derail next season and kind of bring that second season syndrome into being?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think it would certainly present challenges and it would, you know, potentially be really, really difficult at a club like Sheffield United, which, of course, you know, probably doesn't have the sort of the squad size that an awful lot of the other teams towards the top end of that table have. So, yeah, there would be challenges. But I tell you what, as I said, although nobody at the club is mentioning the prospects of European qualification. And whenever the likes of sort of I bring it up in a pre-match press conference or a post-match press conference, often in quite a sort of a jokey way, but I think the very fact it's been mentioned even goes to show sort of how well Sheffield United's season is going. Listen, I think they'd certainly take it, because in terms of profile and potentially revenue, you know, it would be a real, real boost to the football club. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the second season is traditionally quite a difficult one, isn't it, for newly promoted clubs. But what I will say is, and I think it's a nice sort of neat way of raising another really impressive aspect of what Sheffield United have been doing this year. And that is, where I mentioned the size of the squad, I think their fitness record has been absolutely phenomenal. You know, when you consider sort of the physical challenges that they're facing in the Premier League and the psychological challenges that you face, and you often hear players, don't you, say, you know, if you're playing tired, and I think you can include mentally tired in that as well, you know, you sort of run the risk of injury. Well, they've taken a huge step up in class. They're playing against some of the best football as well, certainly the best footballers in the country, and often some of the best footballers in Europe and the world. And yet their injury record is absolutely superb. I mean, they obviously lost Michael Verrips, their sort of second choice or third choice goalkeeper, to a concussion, and they've had a few sort of impact injuries. But in terms of sort of soft tissue injuries, the type of things that you would have expected a fatigue team to pick up, they've just absolutely not got any of those. And I think that's a real testament to the work that they're doing behind the scenes. And also, without sort of being too sort of praiseworthy, if you like, the sort of the professionalism of the players at the football club. And that fitness record has sort of enabled a consistent team selection, which I think has been another factor, another really, really important ingredient in their success so far this season.
It's a great point you raise, James, to be fair, because that is something that you hear a lot of, isn't it? Soft tissue problems, and a lot of clubs throughout the Premier League tend to argue about that. I think Steve Bruce has spoken about it, hasn't he, quite openly over the past few weeks or so with the fixture pile-up over the festive period. But you've never heard that from Chris Wilder, nor any of his backroom staff, nor any of the players.
No, and I, they've not even rotated the squad over Christmas. You know, when the fixture schedule is obviously, you know, sort of pretty demanding, and you hear an awful lot of managers speaking out about that. I mean, I'm probably a little bit old school in this. I always think a player would probably rather be playing than training, but I'm not saying that people like sort of Jurgen Klopp and Steve Bruce don't have a point. You know, they probably, you know, do have a sort of a series of very valid points when they talk about this. But what I just think it goes to show is that when you think a squad as relatively small as Sheffield United is able to sort of really just sort of play all the way through that Christmas period, having had a really sort of difficult start to the season and a demanding start to the season, still pick a consistent start in 11. I mean, the only position that they've really rotated actually throughout the campaign so far is in attack. And yet you wouldn't say actually with the way that Sheffield United play, those are the two most sort of physically demanding sort of positions on the pitch, the front two. You would look at the centre halves and the wing backs, and you know, the very fact that George Baldock, Ender Stevens, Chris Basham, John Egan and Jack O'Connell have been able to play all the way through the season and then over the festive period, I just think it's absolutely phenomenal. And you know, it's been needed as well. I think that's one of the reasons why this is something that they've looked at so hard, the sort of the prehab and the rehab sort of either side of fixtures, is because the way they play, you know, that is it's a very difficult system to get to grips with. And as I've said before, the players who are in it now have got it really well choreographed and nailed down really well. But, you know, there aren't, and this is something we'll possibly get onto later, there aren't obvious replacements in that squad for sort of the two outside centre-halves. You know, there might be a little bit of a shortage of cover at wing-back. So, dare I say it, I think this is one of the reasons why they've invested an awful lot of time and in energy in making sure that the squad is fit. Because you look at teams like Aston Villa and you look at teams like Norwich, you know, obviously the two other sides that came up with United from the Championship last season, you see how injuries have affected them and what that's done to their league position. So I think it's a really, really sort of important ingredient in, you know, behind what Sheffield United are doing this season, and it's a big part of that successful formula they got. But you know, it also just goes to show that although managers will moan about the sort of the volume of games that they're playing, that it is possible to get through it.
And you mentioned centre-backs there and potential lack of cover, James. Just before we move on and actually relax a little bit more to the game against West Ham and look ahead, of course, to the game against Arsenal, Richard Stearman has parted company with the club. He's joined Huddersfield Town and fondly remembered by a lot of non-Sheffield United fans for his celebrations at the back end of last season after the club went up. Caught on camera, sadly for him, or I suppose he probably doesn't care. But he's moved on to Huddersfield now, goes with the best wishes from Blades fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I know everybody says this about footballers who move on, but in Richard's case, I'm not being nice. I'm being absolutely factual here. You couldn't wish to meet a better professional because, you know, certainly this season and last season when he wasn't playing an awful lot of games, you know, at this stage of his career and someone who's had a really good career, he won't have enjoyed that too much. But I do know when you speak to the other players in the camp that he was always in there in the week in training, sort of encouraging and passing on little bits of information about, you know, how he thought people could develop their games and about the opposition that was coming up. And, you know, I know he did that on match day as well. So an absolutely top-class pro. And he will be missed. You know, I think as a person and because of that experience that he brings in, I understand why he's gone on. You know, he needs to be playing at this stage of his career, and that sort of central centre half position that Sheffield United have got in the back three, that possibly is the one area of those three at the back where they do have some decent cover. Obviously, Phil Jagielka is there at the football club, and they've got a few young lads coming through. So I understand why they've moved Richard on, but you know, players like that who haven't always been in the starting 11 but have pushed the players who are in it and have helped them sort of prepare for games and manage their way through a season, I think sometimes they're the ones that are overlooked when you sort of try and consider why a club like Sheffield United was promoted twice in 3 years. Now, Richard wasn't there for all of that, but he was certainly a big part of that promotion from the Championship. He was certainly a big part of that team that sort of enabled Sheffield United to establish themselves in the second tier. And do you know what? I think sometimes this just goes to show the players actually outside of the starting 11, as daft as this sounds, are almost sometimes in different ways, but just as important to the success of a football club as those that are playing every week.
Completely agree with you, mate. I guess you only have to look at the likes of certain third-choice goalkeepers brought in to boost morale at clubs, and I'd imagine that's exactly what Huddersfield need at the moment. Richard Stearman, their former Sheffield United centre-back, moving on to join the Cowleys, a potential revolution of Huddersfield. They've got a bit of work to do just yet. Right, that was James Shield there of the Sheffield Express and Star. He's going to be rejoining us for the second half of the Sheffield United fan show as we look ahead to that game with Arsenal next week.
This is Love Sport.
It is the Sheffield United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. We were just reflecting on that victory over West Ham on Friday. And before the game, James, we didn't mention the fact that Chris Wilder had extended his contract until 2024. Great news for the Blades.
Yeah, really, really important because, you know, it's obviously been such a huge part of that club's success. I mean, he sort of roused it from a coma, grabbed it by the scruff of the neck and sort of pretty much single-handedly shook it back into life. So the fact that he's committed his long-term future to the club, I mean, I know sometimes contracts in football don't mean an awful lot, but I think it was important to get this one nailed down. And there's, you know, I think there's another reason, not only in terms of the sort of morale boost that it'll give the football club, but I think going into a transfer window when you've got a figure who's as important as he is to a football club. They've got contract negotiations going on with some of the squad members already there. They're obviously be looking to bring in a couple of players more after Jack Rodwell's arrival. And I think it just sends a good message to them, doesn't it? That, you know, the guy at the top, the guy will be working them on a day-to-day basis. Now, you know, sort of looks like he's going to be sticking around for an awful lot longer time to come. So I think it was important that they did that, sort of for morale on the terraces and also morale in the dressing room as well.
One of the warmest managers as well, he looks like, doesn't he, on that touchline in his gilet and his tight hoodie. I've got to ask you, James, by the way, when he comes in for the interviews afterwards, do any of you ever want to go, Chris, mate, your hood is a bit skewiff at the back of your gilet, mate. It's not really working. You kind of need to either take it off or get it sorted because it's all over the place.
Depends whether they've won or lost, doesn't it? So, yeah, I think we'll gauge his mood, actually, before we start picking apart his dress sense. He's a big fan of the camper shoes, actually, as well, on a day-to-day basis. The old the Spanish footwear. We've not seen them on the touchline yet, but I know he's very fond of those. So look out for them on an off day, as it were, if you ever catch him wandering around the ground or in public.
Brilliant. Love a manager in a tracksuit as well. I just think it works well, especially for Wilder. You can't imagine him in a three-piece suit. You'd imagine if Sheffield United got to the final at Wembley even, he'd probably still wear the same clobber, wouldn't he?
He did. Do you know what? He actually wore a suit. And I think when he first came into the football club, his first couple of games, and I think it was because he was so proud to be there and it was such a big deal for him. And as we've sort of touched on in the past, they didn't get off to the best of starts under Chris, as remarkable as that sounds. Mm. And he pretty much ditched the collar and tie pretty quickly and went to the track. So I think that's what he's comfortable in. And do you know what as well, you know, without sort of overstating this, I think it just sort of sent out the right message as well, that, you know, we're actually going to have to roll up our sleeves here and do some hard work. And he's stuck with it ever since. So long may the tracksuit and gilet continue.
Yeah, long may it continue for Chris Wilder. And long may John Fleck's form continue as well. Assist again. That's 6 goal involvements for him this season. Only Lise Mousset can boast more. But he assisted for Ollie McBurnie in that win against West Ham. Just very quickly, James, because I don't want to dwell on it, but the situation right at the end of the game with the VAR, what was the feeling amongst journos, amongst fans? It all just seemed incredibly bizarre, didn't it?
It did. And, you know, I mean, listen, Sheffield United have had an awful lot of issues with VAR this season. Now, clearly this was an instance where it went in their favour. But I still don't think it deflects from the fact that this is something that football's got to take a very hard look at. And you know what? Without going into the nuts and bolts of the decision and sort of the league tables about who's profited from VAR and who hasn't, what I will say is, it was interesting at the end of the game. David Moyes' demeanour was exactly as you would have expected. I think it was interesting that Chris Wilder came in and he almost seemed a little bit deflated, as daft as it sounds as well. And, you know, he sort of said, I empathise with David and his players because we've been there before. And I think you've got serious issues with the system and with some of the laws in the game that system is able to highlight now. When you've got a manager who has benefited from a decision like that in added time, that has enabled his team to win a game and still doesn't seem very happy with it, as daft as that sounds. And I think that was, you know, possibly the most damning indictment of VAR from my perspective that I've seen this season. That Chris Wilder, you know, the manager of a team that has just been able to win a game because a decision has been overturned in their favour by VAR, he just still seemed absolutely disillusioned and deflated by the fact that he was sat there talking about it again rather than a win. You know, we want to talk about football, don't we? We don't want to talk about video analysis suites somewhere near the airport out at Heathrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And what it did, even though it brought Sheffield United the win, like you say, it almost deflated him, deflated the fans to a certain extent as well. Yes, they got the victory, but not in the way that they really would have liked to, I suppose. But that was thanks to Ollie McBurnie, his 4th Premier League goal since that big money move from Swansea. Did you see him today?
Down at the South Wales Derby. That's right. I think he's been down there a couple of times actually to see Swansea since. And do you know what? I like that because it goes to show it's a player that actually invests in the football club, doesn't it? That he's representing. And I think I'll take my journalist out off here and I'll speak as a football fan because I'm one of those as well. That's what you want to see as a fan, isn't it? A player who buys into to a football club, whether they've played for it or whether they're playing for it now. Because I think there's so many of them. Listen, I know it's a job to them. I know it's a profession. But, you know, as a fan, we want to see a little bit more than that, don't we? We want to see a player who's got an emotional attachment to a football club. So I think that's great, you know, and you'd like to think in 10 years' time, if they've ever ended up in the same division again or they get drawn together in a cup, that he'll be coming back to watch a Steel City derby as well.
I completely agree. I think it's absolutely brilliant to see him there. If Swansea were to get promoted, however, I'm not sure it'll go down too well. I think he'd probably have to stay away on those occasions. Let's look ahead to the game next weekend, James. It is Arsenal at the Emirates. Now, last time Sheffield United visited Arsenal, it was in the Carabao Cup in 2008. Arsenal 6, Sheffield United 0. You can imagine this one's probably going to be a slightly different outcome.
You would imagine so. You would imagine it would be a little bit tighter than that. And, you know, I think, obviously, you're looking at a slightly different Arsenal side, aren't you? And after they were beaten at Bramall Lane not so long ago, you would like to think that, or possibly not like to think, that they feel as if they've got a little bit of a point to prove. But I think this is a very different Sheffield United team to the one that you know, that obviously Arsenal last played on home soil. I mean, I was there. I covered the game that night. You know, this is that team back then. It wasn't mentally fragile by any stretch of the imagination, and it would be wrong and a mistake to even suggest that. There were some really tough and good players in that side, but clearly they weren't in Arsenal's class on the night. What I will say is, I think Sheffield United, this is a better side. And for all the fact that they've got some real talent in there, and you quite rightly mentioned John Fleck earlier, who's just been phenomenal. I think he's been my player of the season for the football club so far, just for his sheer consistency. But the one thing this side is, and it was shown by that away record, that up until that defeat at Manchester City last season, that, you know, last month, that they'd gone almost a year unbeaten away from home. I think that just goes to show this is a really mentally tough group of players as well. So, you know, I think that's something that Arsenal, if they don't already know it or they've forgotten about what happened at Bramall Lane, I think they'll certainly, you know, rediscover this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And by my records, James, I think it has to be all the way back in August 1971 for the last time that Sheffield United managed to get a victory at Arsenal. Of course, it was Highbury then. Different ground now. On the line, we have Charlie East from Gunnerstown and, of course, the Arsenal Fan Show here on Monday evenings. You can catch those guys between 7 and 8pm every Monday evening here on A Love Sport. Charlie, hello. No, Charlie is not with us. We thought he was, but he's sadly not. We'll come back to him in a moment or two. But yes, James, it's been a long time. So 1971, the last time that Sheffield United got a victory on their travels at Arsenal.
Yeah, and do you know what? I actually think, that shouldn't have any sort of bearing on what's going to happen this weekend. But do you know what? I think if the players in that squad are aware of that, and they are made aware of that fact and that sort of long wait for a win, I actually think, sort of knowing them as I do, you know, that's something that'll make them sort of even more determined. Because I think, as you've seen, without sort of being too cliched about it, this is it's a Sheffield United squad that enjoys challenges and sort of enjoys and is very good at sort of defying expectations, really.
I'm going to see if we can get Charlie back now. Are you there, Charlie?
Yeah, good evening, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Thanks for coming on, boss. Really appreciate it on a Sunday evening. Arsenal hosting Sheffield United there. I don't know whether you heard the stat. Not since 1971 have the Blades won in North London against Arsenal.
1971, we won the double that year.
Well, there you go, mate. It's a good omen. Who knows? Under Mikel Arteta, it might just... No, actually, it's not going to happen, mate. Not at all. Not this season. No. Anyway, but a draw against Palace this weekend. Big one next weekend. Need to get back on the winning trail under Arteta.
We do. We do. It's been a shaky... It's been a mixed start for Arteta. We're quite happy with the fact the way he's come in and sort of the energy levels are back. We're pressing higher up the pitch. The players look like they actually want to play a bit better. Play, actually, now. But results have not been the greatest. As much as we've had that good result against United, obviously, and got a win against Leeds in the Cup, we're still sort of drawing Saturday, drew with Bournemouth, where everyone else seems to be spanking. lost to Chelsea when we probably deserved a bit more. So we actually need to get a bit of a win on Saturday. I think it's a must-win game for us. We ain't getting sent off on the weekend and we're being suspended. It's a little bit of a... It's going to be a big loss for us, I think. But it may give us a bit more balance. I think it put Martinelli back in. And he's fantastic. I think everyone wants to see more of him. But it's going to be a tough game. We know Sheffield United, we've been watching them all season. They've been turning up at big games, getting big results. They beat us at their place. But we just need to... I would like to think we've got enough to beat Sheffield United at home on Saturday, personally.
Oh, it's an interesting one. I mean, they've been very decent on their travel so far this season, Charlie. James, in terms of where Sheffield United can win this game or where they can cause Arsenal problems, I know you've spoken about John Fleck there and the great season that he's having. Of course, we know about the system Chris Wilder plays. Where do you think they can affect Arsenal? And Arsenal, of course, without Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang next week.
Well, I think that's going to be something that will really encourage them because, you know, one of the great sort of understated things about Sheffield United's season so far has been their defensive record. They've been sort of defensively so sound, and I think after that West Ham game, I'm not too sure if this changed over the weekend, but you know, Dean Henderson more clean sheets than any other goalkeeper in the division. So I think they can frustrate them there. But what Sheffield United are just very good at, I think, rather than just areas of the pitch, it's just that sort of that team ethic, that energy that they can just sort of, you know, really pick apart any sort of soft centres that teams have got. So that's something that they'll clearly be looking to do at the Emirates. And I think, you know, in fairness, I think that was something that they exposed at Bramall Lane, was a little bit of a soft centre and a little bit of sort of a lack of intensity in the Arsenal team that came up here to South Yorkshire not so long ago. So, you know, I was interested to hear there that that's something that seems to have changed under Arteta, because, you know, however this game turns out, if Arsenal are going to sort of want to get a positive result against Sheffield United, if you look at that last game earlier this season when they obviously lost 1-0, that's something they've really got to improve on.
100%. Totally agree with you. And I don't get me wrong, I'm... Sheffield United must look at us at the minute and I'll fancy their chances. And I generally think they probably could. And every team we're playing against at the minute, I'm sure every manager will say, well, come on, it's a good time to play Arsenal. Let's go out and have a go at them. But we have had a bit of steel the last few games. We have looked better. And what you spoke about, you're absolutely spot on. You could get at us and we'd just crumble. But I think another big key for Saturday is if Torreira's fit. When he came off at half-time yesterday, and it completely changed the game. Guendouzi and Xhaka cannot play with each other. They just can't do it. And with Torreira in the minute, we look so much better. His energy in the middle and he's chatting. And it makes Xhaka look like a 10 times better player as well. So that's
it. I think
that we don't know about Torreira yet. So that's massive for us this weekend.
It was one thing I can remember writing this actually after the game up here, and you know, and I meant it in a totally respectful way, because you look at Arsenal's players, and obviously, you know, on paper, most of those, if not pretty much all of them, would probably get into Sheffield United's side. But you know, I mean, the United players, I think, are better than sort of, you know, some people, sort of, obviously not on this radio station, but some people out there in the commentariat, if you like, have given them credit for in the past. But it just goes to show, doesn't it, if you've got that energy, that application, and that work ethic, if you're a good player as well, it just goes to show how dangerous you can be.
No, and it also goes the other way. Like, as an Arsenal fan, we think we've got these great players, but if they don't put the effort in, they look terrible. They just don't look like the player they should be.
I think that's the one thing. You look in, and this is me looking in from the outside. If Arteta can just sort of up those intensity and application levels, you know, there's a damn good Arsenal side there, isn't there?
And he has done that. We still need two or three players, I think, and we won't get that in January. Maybe a centre half, but as an Arsenal fan and everyone I speak to over Arsenal, there has been a lift around the ground. I mean, if you've been coming to our ground 3 weeks ago before Arteta, the atmosphere would have been dead. No one would have fancied. We'd have probably gone, oh, we're going to skip something over today. But the atmosphere in the ground on Saturday would be a bit better. It's a home game, 3 o'clock. We've not had a 3 o'clock Saturday for a very long time. So I think there'd be a good atmosphere in the ground on Saturday, and it'd give a lift. And hopefully it goes onto the pitch. I mean, Lacazette's desperate for a goal. He's a man shot of confidence at the minute. And I'd like to think, no disrespect, Sheffield United coming to our place should be a game where we, if we are on our game and we match you energy level wise, hopefully our quality should shine through.
Charlie, it's been great having you on, boss. Really appreciate you coming on this evening. We'll catch up with you tomorrow on the Arsenal Fan Show. James, always a pleasure speaking to you as well here on the Sheffield United Fan Show. I'll let you go, let you get back, and we'll play out with some nice relaxing music again, just like we did at the start of the show.
This is Love Sport.